York Street Mechanics, Auckland. It's rapidly becoming my favourite place. The other place that's actually number one at the moment is called Shed 5. And two just inspirational spaces filled with motorbikes, filled with motorbike history, motorbike futures and adventures. And I'm sat right next to an adventurer right now. What's your name?
My name's Joe Butler.
Joe Butler. Have you got a Twitter account or a Facebook account?
Facebook, yep.
Okay.
That seems to be the rule.
So people can find you on there. Where have you just come back from?
From Southeast Asia, where I took motorbikes around from, started in Bangkok and then headed up and around through the Burma and into Laos and then back into Vietnam, straight down and then around into Cambodia, circled there and left my bike in Cambodia and back to Bangkok after, 3 months of non-stop travel, which was an incredible adventure.
How many miles in all did you cover?
I think there was about 7,000 or 8,000 kilometres in all. Yeah, but some of it, the Mekong River was a boat trip, which was pretty special, and so everybody boarded that.
Did you get off at Luang Prabang?
I did. I had to see Luang Prabang. What a beautiful place. True romance.
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, it's one of my favourite river trips ever, although sitting with dogs, which, you know, might be someone's dinner later on, was a little bit unnervy.
No, I missed the dog, but fortunately I didn't have the dog thing, but I did have a lot of really sweet people on that boat, and it was an incredible surprise to arrive there. But Laos was more defined by the border provinces of Posavan and heading up along that area where it was so incredibly sad with the bombings that had taken place through the 60s and 70s. And I think that, to me, was probably the most profound place that I had ever been.
And it's incredible to meet these people and how friendly they are, knowing that more bombs dropped on Laos than in Vietnam, in the Vietnam War.
More bombs dropped on Laos than dropped in the entire World War II, and in such a small area as well. I mean, and they're still there, and it'll be 300 years before any of them, you know, to clear them. I mean, it was an incredibly sad thing, but the people there were resilient and kind and generous, and as long as it's not a secret, they were okay, you know.
So how many bikes did you get through?
It was the border crossings, I think, for that trip is the biggest issue, and Vietnam being the thorn in the side of all of it. I mean, it looks to be changing, but getting a bike in and out of Vietnam is a problem. And anybody that sort of looks to do that, and if they're running on a shoestring and they're really going for the adventure, Vietnam is going to be the issue. So, you know, having bikes over there, you know, get one in each country possibly, and get one that suits, and get what people ride, because that's what they're going to repair. And for sure, that was in this event, that was the best technique.
So, what were the three bikes?
There was a Hondas in Thailand, Hondas in the Honda in Vietnam, and then there was sort of a Suzuki Enduro that was in Laos, which was really great because Laos had so much incredible off-road, and some of these villages so far removed that, you know, getting up to those was sort of really special. And, you know, it was kind of one of those places where people would look at you and say, I'm not really sure you should be here, but I'm here, so they do. But there's, you know, it's you know, it runs with it. The bike of the day, which most people want to get for Vietnam, is the classic Honda Win 110cc single, and they're incredible bikes. But any Honda there is, you know, it's golden, and that's what people ride, and that's what they fix. And the mechanics there are legendary, truly legendary. Mm.
Give me the scariest moment.
I think the buses and the trucks were probably the scariest moment. You know, you're doing 80k and a bus will pull out on you 20 metres ahead of you, and, you know, you're in the heavy on the side of the road with a bike swaying everywhere, and you're watching truck wheels sway past you, and, you know, and you literally, you know, you've got your gravels throwing in the air. It's very important to take your own helmet and take a good quality helmet for these things, because Asia doesn't have a lot of good quality helmets easily accessible. But the trucks and the buses, they certainly really, people talk about that, but they do rev you up and they do wind you up. And I think that, combined with sort of stepping into parts of Laos where, you know, there were Hmong people still really a little bit resilient to the system, you know, wondering what you were doing there. But overall, there were no scary moments. There was just magical moments.
So let's finish on the maybe a defining magical moment, a moment when you thought, and I'm sure there'd be more than one, but this is the most incredible day of my life.
Every morning I'd wake up and pack the bag and just be on the highway and just looking down and screaming inside my helmet that this is the happiest moment of my life, and doing that every single day and never wanting to stop was the most defining. And, you know, you're just free, you're alive.